Good evening. It's good to be in God's house again. It's good to have another opportunity to preach. Not many people know too much about me. You've met some of my family, but I'm Tyler. I'm the middle child. And I got saved when I was young, when I was 8 years old, and I kind of kept it to myself. I kept it, and I usually don't tell myself. I'm kind of scattered tonight, and y'all need to pray for me, but, you know, this kind of leads into the sermon. I was saved when I was 8, and I kept it to myself for 10 years. You know, I didn't tell it till I was 18. I missed out on a lot of opportunities there. And then when I was in college, I got called to preach while I was in my dorm. You know, I didn't necessarily know exactly what it was at the time. I kind of had figured it, but Brother Taylor was one of the first ones that he might have been the first one I had a conversation with about how he felt when he was called to preach, which is, you know, it's everybody has their own personal experience, but I do thank Brother Taylor for talking to me that night, because I was very, very much scared at the time. And I feel that fear when I get up to preach, that anxiety, I guess it is a little bit, the heartbeat racing, going fast, but, you know, sometimes God just calms me down, and He just tells me it's all right, and He might, you know, if I just lean back on Him, I might get through this tonight, because only He can pull this one together. But my thoughts are a little scattered tonight, and I've never really tried to deliver a message in this way before, but hopefully I won't be doing much. The Lord will be doing a lot of it. But I want you to think right now about how and why you would keep a secret. You know, why you would keep something to yourself, or to only to yourself and maybe a friend. You know, sometimes you just want to keep it to yourself. You don't want anyone else to know. Maybe something's a little embarrassing. Maybe you don't want someone to know because you don't really like them, and you don't want them to have this to let them in on the secret. You know, I think, and I thought about this, and I was listening to a song, and it's what kind of what struck a chord in my heart. It said something about, I have a secret. You know, and I thought about that, and I pondered about that, and I thought about how sad it is today that the gospel in general is being kept as a secret. Amen. You know, people are keeping it to themselves. We're not letting anyone else in on this secret. We're kind of, you know, and I know it's a ridiculous comparison, but there was a movie that came out, and y'all are just going to laugh, it's Fight Club, had Brad Pitt in it. You know, the rule was, you don't talk about Fight Club. You know, I feel like, you know, we meet together, and we obviously know what's going on here, but most of the time when we leave, it's like we don't talk about church, just like it was Fight Club or something. You know, no one would know you're doing it by the way you carry yourself out in your regular work day, as they did. I understand the movie. I have a very loose grasp of this movie. I didn't watch the whole thing. But, you know, you wouldn't think that these people were involved in something like this. You know, I think about how we keep the gospel a secret. And we treat it like that. We treat church like that. We treat God like that. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, I just want to run through what God has given me tonight and see where He takes us on this. But just keep that thought in your mind tonight. Our first reading is going to be out of Matthew chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 1. Let me get a drink. Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus is calling together His disciples. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of these of the 12 apostles were these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentile, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, I kind of just want to draw attention to how, you know, after Jesus called them together, he wasn't like, "All right, guys, come in here. All right, we're gonna huddle up over here. Listen, I want you guys to keep this a secret. All right, yeah, keep everything you've seen a secret. Keep all these gifts I've given you. You keep them to yourselves. We don't want this getting out." You know, that's not the way Jesus talked to them. That's not the way he wanted his message to go around. He didn't want it to be a big secret. Just let in those that you like. You know, someone's mean over here. You ain't got to let him in. You know, we find later in the scripture, and we'll touch on it tonight, a guy named Saul that, you know, I don't think hardly anyone who was in the faith would have just openly went out to Saul and just shared that with him. You know, it's for fear of life. But, you know, Jesus, he didn't want them to keep it to themselves. He said, "You go out and preach. You go out and tell them. You know, tell the world. Tell other people. You know, I want to get everybody in on this." You know, that's where we fail, I feel like. We get out of here and I don't know, maybe something said during service, and I don't know how you feel in your heart during service, but whatever makes you want to get out of church, and if someone brings up something about God, or, you know, if you have an opportunity open, I don't know what makes us not take it. I don't know, God put the love in my heart, and I've been out somewhere and someone says something about God, and, you know, I'll fail him. And I think to myself, what am I doing? You know, why am I not telling this person, these people? You know, why am I not telling everybody in here what I've got in my heart? Why am I not sharing this with them? Why am I trying to keep it to myself? You know, we'll turn over to Luke chapter 11, verse 33, very familiar verse. And it just lines up perfectly with this. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." And I grew up in Macon County, north of here. And I promise this goes back to the scripture. But talking about having a light in you. Talk about God putting something inside you that you're to share with the world. You know, I thought this afternoon about when we would be on opposite ends of the street, us and our neighbors, and you know, it was the weirdest thing. Our lights would go off and theirs would be on, or their lights would go off and ours would be on. You know, I remember times that our lights went off. Our neighbors, they would come over and they'd say, "Why don't y'all come over here? You know, our lights are on. Let's share this with you. You know, y'all ain't got to sit in the dark over here. Y'all can come over here and you can be in the light." You know, I thought of what a picture that is. You know, what God has put in my life to show me how to act as a Christian. You know, my light's over here shining, and there's a world of darkness out there. I used to go out and grab some of my neighbors and be like, "Hey, y'all come in here. The light, there's plenty of light in here. You know, I can tell you where to get this light. It won't burn out if you just get it one time." You know, we fail. We don't We don't share our life. We don't have that hospitality. Spiritual hospitality. I know it sounds far-fetched, but showing someone love and kindness and telling them, you got something that can help their soul, that can cure them. You got some water that'll never leave them thirsty. You got some light that'll never leave them dark. You've got somewhere warm, somewhere you're sheltered that they can live out their life and know that nothing's ever going to be so bad that they're going to go off into hell. Amen. They're going to die without God. They'll always have a friend. Amen. One that'll never leave them. Amen. I talked about getting called to preach in my dorm. I had a roommate my first semester of college. Name was Josh. He was a super good guy. Couldn't have asked for a more well-mannered roommate. Still very good friends with him. But he dropped out his second semester. I stayed in, and I kind of talked to the housing authority there at Western Kentucky, and I kind of eased my way into a room without a roommate. I kind of made friends with the head person of housing or whatever, and I was like, if I'm the last person that doesn't get a roommate, that's fine with me. I felt like I just caught fire that semester. I was reading my Bible every day. And there'd be times, and I look back on this with such fond memory. There would be times I'd sit in my dorm room, and I had this chair. It was so uncomfortable. I don't know what they do in dorm rooms that they just want to make college students uncomfortable, but I had a chair. It had a cushion, which made you think it was comfortable, but when you lean back, it would hit your back just right. And I don't know why I remember that. I just do. But I'd sit in that chair, and I'd just lean it back, and I'd lean it forward, and I'd rock in it, and I'd just read my Bible. And then before long, I'd be crying. Before long, I'd be praying or crying or just sitting off staring into space thinking of, how great is it that I can be in my dorm room and I can just feel God's presence even though that no one's here right now. Amen. I don't know why I didn't just holler out in them hallways right then. Oh, that dorm room is the third floor of Douglas Keene. I remember I just got out in the hallway and I could have just hollered down the hallway. Everybody come in here. There's so much light in here. There's plenty of water to drink. But what are we doing to get that gospel out? Amen. Are we just sitting in silence in our places of work? Maybe sitting in our cubicles, sitting at home on our front porch, rejoicing by ourselves? Keeping it all bottled up inside. I'm not real good at sharing emotions too much. But you're keeping it bottled up inside and everyone not knowing what you got. Just like that secret. Keeping the gospel a secret. It's not a way you want to live your life. Now I think of other reasons that you would keep a secret. Other just silly reasons that would make you not want to tell anyone what you got or what's happened to you. One of the things I came across was, maybe you're keeping a secret. Maybe you got a hidden stash of something and you don't want it to run out. You don't want it to run out, or you don't want the wrong person to get their hands a hold of it. But that's not the case with God's love. Not the case with the secret. This gift we've been given that we're supposed to share freely, but we keep it a secret. That's not the case with what we got right now. The case is, and it says clearly in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, whoever Amen. Believeth in Him should not perish. That not only lets you in on, there's not a select group of people that we should be telling this to. There's not a select group of people. You don't need to just tell your friends about it. I'm telling you, there's enough for everyone. Amen. You can tell anyone out on the street. You can tell your neighbor. You can tell maybe the neighbor on the other side of the house you don't care for too much. You can tell anyone. And it says everyone can be saved. So that should give you an indication that it's not going to run out. Amen. It says anyone can be saved. It's not just for the Jews or the Gentiles. God's respecter of persons. It tells us that in Romans 2 and 11. You know, Paul says, you know, God don't respect the person. He looks at the soul. He loves everyone the same. He wants to see them all become one of his children. You know, I said we get to Paul. And that's really the last subject I'm going to be touching on tonight. But Paul, he's the same guy, you know, just different times in his life. We're going to be talking about, I guess, Saul. I thought it was Paul. But Saul, after he met the Lord, after, you know, God Himself, the Lord Himself stopped him on the road to Damascus. Man. And let him in on this secret. Let him in on this just crazy divine gift. That, you know, that there's a man, you know, the one that he was persecuting, the one that he was killing people for, that same man, you know, he's the Son of God. You know, and it just took Jesus coming to him and the Lord just bringing him down. And I believe he was blinded. I could be wrong and confusing my story, but, you know, God led him into Damascus. And you know, Saul no doubt believed that that was the Lord. And believed on Him and was let in on this living water, this everlasting life that he had no idea of. And you know what he did with it? You know what it said he did when he regained his strength in Damascus? He straightway went to preaching. You know, he went out and he wanted to, you know, I don't blame him. You know, and that's the thing. I want to be like Paul here when he became Paul. When he just, you know, he got let in on the secret and he just said, oh man, I got to go share this. I got to go come out and preach this. I'm going to go tell the world about what I got. Amen. I find that so many of us experience that when we get saved. Amen. And so many times we lose it along the way somewhere. I don't know what happens. I don't know if we get discouraged or if we just get complacent. Most of the time I feel like that's the truth right there. You know, I want to be the man and I want us to be the people that, you know, if we were to go out every day and ask, you know, tell everyone about what we got, and no one would come to church, I pray that we would keep doing it every day. You know, because the results, they're not what concern you. They don't matter to you. That's the thing. God don't care about results, really, because He takes care of that part. He takes care of the results. He waters the plant and he brings the increase. Amen. If we just plant the seed, you know, if we're following Him and planting seeds and just getting His Word out there to where we can just, if you just put a little tiny inkling of something in their heart, God can take that small amount and He can just let it run all over them. Amen. You know what? He can just let it consume their life. He can take that small seed and He can lead someone to church or lead someone somewhere that they could find God, they could be with Him, you know, and they can serve Him. And you know what that does? It pleases God. It does not please God when we keep it to ourselves and we leave it a secret. I missed a lot of opportunity when I kept my secret for 10 years. And when I told it, you know, you don't have to tell me that it brought some people joy, because I could see it on their faces. And I thought to myself so many times, when someone new would learn of it, I would just look at them and it would just run all over me. Because I said, I would think, you know, what if I'd have just told this sooner? What if I'd have got this out sooner? What impact could I have made? What impact can you make if you would just go out and tell what God has done for you? Now that's all that God put on my heart. And I appreciate the opportunity to come out here and preach. I really do. I enjoy serving God. And you know, you get to travel different places and meet new people, and all pleasant and all loving. And I can, you know, I feel the prayers when I was studying. So I'd like to thank you, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Taylor.